Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and the object of this program these days is to go through the scripture book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. And I'm Nicholas, and as I go through it, I get to comment on it because it's my program. Also, I'm using the eSword, and you can get a copy of this Bible software program, Bible software study program, at e-sword.net. That's the eSword, the hyphenated, e-sword.net. And download the program there. And when you download the main program, you get everything you need. You will get the authorized King James Version, plus the Strong's Hebrew and Greek Concordance. I also advise, while you're there downloading, that you get the King James Version 1611. Get the King James Version with the Apocrypha, so you can copy and paste without the numbers, without the Greek and Hebrew numbers, for those of you that need to copy and paste into other texts. That's the way you do it. Also, download Henry's commentary. And that's about where I would end it, right there, with those three things. The King James Version that comes with the main eSword program, the 1611, so you can see the evolution. And yes, that is proper word, proper use for the word of evolution. You can see the evolution of the King James Version, how it was originally translated from the original text into English. You can see the evolution of the English language from the King James 1611 to the what is called the authorized King James Version that we use today. The 1611, of course, was translated around 1611. And near the end of the 1700s, I believe it was the 1790s, some scholars or a scholar set about in one of the major universities to update the language of the King James Version, and that became known as the authorized King James Version. I heard another teacher on the networks here. He refers to the AV 1611. Well, there is no such thing as an AV, the authorized version 1611. I think he is actually referring to the authorized version because when he quotes the scripture, that's what I hear him quoting is the authorized version, which is the 1790s version and actually not the AV 1611. It would be kind of hard to read the AV 1611. And now I'm saying AV. It would be kind of hard to read the original 1611 version because the original 1611 version is not the authorized version. Very little study, very little research into this topic, and you'll find this out, you know, adequately for yourself, or you could take my word for it. But I always say, check it out for yourself. If you find I'm in error about anything, I'm counting on you to let me know if I am in error on anything. You think I'm wrong about something, please, 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 that's with three pleases there, email me. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org, look for the email link there, and you know how email works. Send me an email. Put in the subject line, Nicholas, I think you're wrong about this, or put in the scripture verse reference, or just put Cross the Border, or just my name. Make sure that it's something in the subject line so I know that this is an email I want to look at and respond to. Because, you know, with the hundreds of emails that we get on an hourly basis at the network, it's nice to be able to see them easily if I want to respond to them or if someone's actually trying to contact me at my behest here on the air. Well, today we are going to continue in our study of the Book of Psalms. Last time we left off in Psalms chapter 24, And, well, you know, it's a short chapter. It's only 10 verses. So wherever I left off, I'm going to just start at the beginning again. This is a scripture verse that's embedded in my memory here, chapter 24 and verse 1, because the whole earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and everyone that dwells therein. And of course, that's not an exact translation. Let me read it exactly, but that's how I usually remember it. But it says in the Authorized Version, not the AV 1611. We discussed that already. I could look at the 1611 and see what it does say. And it says pretty much the same thing. And a lot of times you'll find that in the 1611. You'll notice the spelling differences, and you don't get as many clues as to the original language. You go down to, say, verse 7, and it says, lift up your heads. But the word up is spelled with a V. It's VP, lift up your heads. And there you have the evolution of the English language. Ye everlasting doors, and everlasting is spelled E-U-E-R, everlasting. And doors is spelled D-O-O-R-E-S, doors. So you can see, but you know, what's the point in looking at the original 1611 version and the original English version and seeing the evolution of the English language in print? Well, you learn some things, like a double U is still looks like a double V, doesn't it? So perhaps the language and the spelling is still evolving, and it is still evolving. And as an aside, one thing that really bothers me, and I'm going to tell you right now, one thing that really bothers me are so-called law dictionaries. Because when you write a law, the law is determined by the meaning of the words. And what bothers me is they have this Black's Law Dictionary, and every so often they come out with a new version. And you'll notice that the words actually change meanings, or they omit words. I can see adding a meaning to a word, you know, like, you know, there are computer terms that nobody used 50 years ago simply because, yes, it was only 50 years ago. We didn't have any computers. Or if we did, they were so monstrous and so expensive, and most of the language hadn't evolved yet. So let's go back 60 years, 70 years. They had no computers, and certainly no one had one at home, I'll tell you that much. So you have to add, but you have to also retain. And a truly good law dictionary would say what year the word, the new definition for the word was added. So you know that any law that was written before that was referring to another definition. But I believe that those that are in charge of writing the law dictionaries are using their position to change laws by changing the meaning of words. And that's very unfortunate. So what they need to do with every document of law that they write now, they really have to have a dictionary for every word in the document. Reminds me of that statement that one of our great presidents made, or great recent presidents. A lot of people might cringe when I say, who is this great recent president? But I say he was great because he was very popular, and he was great in the world, okay? So this great in the world president, Bill Clinton, said, that depends on what the meaning of is. You know, and all of his critics laughed at him, and all of the so-called conservatives and neocons laughed at him. They laughed him to scorn, but it was a very wise statement because he was right. It does depend on the meaning of every word when it comes to law. And so it is when it comes to the scripture, because the scripture is God's law. So let's jump back into our authorized King James Version here. A Psalm of David. The earth is Yahuwah's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. And we talked about this last time. We went back to the beginning and how he created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was, talked about the face of the deep, of course, referring to water. And here we have a statement that verifies this from the psalmist, that he founded it upon the seas. He established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or Yahuwah, by name, our Creator? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. And how do you obtain clean hands and a pure heart? Well, that is by his imputed righteousness, the righteousness of his Redeemer. That is how we become a man who has clean hands and a pure heart. You know, it doesn't matter what our past was. I mean, it does to a certain point. It does for this life, because undoubtedly, if we have acted wickedly and been a great sinner throughout our life, if we've committed adulteries and whoredoms and murders, and we're going to suffer the repercussions of those things in this mortal life, because our God is just. But we can be redeemed. We can be forgiven for all of those things. And this is demonstrated over and over throughout the scriptures, throughout the word of our Heavenly Father. And I'm so glad that he did demonstrate that for all of us, because it gives us all hope. Because we can read about godly men, men after God's own heart, who did terrible atrocities, who did terrible things, who sinned terribly against the Creator and against his law. And we can realize that, yes, I can be forgiven. He forgave them, but he also demonstrates that they suffered the consequences of those sins in their mortal life. And there's no way, you know, there's no getting away from that. Just pray for mercy. That's all I can say. And he is merciful. And he is especially merciful to those that show mercy. So, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and we can obtain those through his Redeemer, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. And you know, we've all had dirty hands. We've all thought impure things. We've all lifted up our soul to vanity. We've all sworn deceitfully. So obviously, there is a way to become clean. And he makes that way. He writes his law upon our minds and on our hearts so that we might not sin against him, so that he can be our God and we can be his people. And by his imputed righteousness, we can say that we have clean hands and a pure heart. He shall receive the blessing from Yahuwah and righteousness from the God of his salvation, signifying again that righteousness comes from him and from the God of our salvation. He is our salvation, and that's what his name means. The name of our Redeemer says that our God is our salvation. Yahuwah is his name, and Yahushua is his son's name, which means that he is our salvation. He became a man. He took our place. He is the God of our salvation. He is our salvation. Verse 6, this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle, or Yahuwah strong and mighty. Yahuwah by name in the original text. Yahuwah, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Yahuwah of hosts. He is the King of glory. Psalm 25, that is chapter 25 and verse 1, a psalm of David. Unto thee, Yahuwah, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. And it may seem like at times that our enemies are triumphing over us, but their victory, their triumph is only temporary. Because this life is only temporary, and our victory is eternal, because it will last forever. And the psalmist cries out, let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, Yahuwah, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Yahuwah, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sakes, O Yahuwah. Good and upright is the Lord, or Yahuwah by name, the Creator. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek he will guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of Yahuwah are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Yahuwah, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. And here we see that the king, David, the psalmist, humbly acknowledges his sin and how great it is. But he says, for thy name's sake, O Yahuwah, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. And as the man in the proverb said, the beginning, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. So what man is he that feareth Yahuwah? Him shall he teach in the way he shall choose. And I say, let him choose our way. Chapter 25 and verse 13. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. His secret, or the secret of Yahuwah, is with them that fear him. And here we're talking about a mystery, a secret, something hidden from the world, something that the world can't understand, something that I deal with as I produce some movies, anti-zeitgeist, short clips or, you know, short features, not really movies, but you have a limit on YouTube of 10 minutes, so you can only say so much in 10 minutes. But I always get the atheists and the skeptics and the proponents of the spirit of the age, which is Zeitgeist in German. But the secret of Yahuwah is with them that fear him. They can't know. They can't understand. They don't know what I know. They think I'm a fool. They are to give up your Bible and that silly fables and things like that and face the facts. Of course, the facts are lies from the Zeitgeist movie, just bald-faced lies from Satan worshippers, no less. But they're deceived. Why are they deceived? Well, because the secret of Yahuwah, the secret of the Lord, is not with them. It is with them that fear him. And they don't fear him, so they don't understand the mystery, the mysteries of our God. They don't understand the mystery of iniquity. They don't understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. They do not understand mystery Babylon. They understand none of the secrets. So verse 14, the secret of the Lord, Yahuwah by name, is with them that fear him. And he will show them his covenant. Have you seen his covenant? Well, not talking about showing you a document. He's going to show it to you in such a way that you'll own it, that you'll know what it is. His covenant. His covenant is with me, is the promise of eternal life, the promise of escape from death through his Redeemer. And his covenant he's made with me. He's shown me his kingdom and his law. And he says, hey, if you want to dwell in my kingdom, if you love my law, if you love me, and you love my law because you desire to do the things that please me, then my covenant is with you. However, our God is not a tyrant. He's not going to make you keep his law. He's not going to make you walk in his kingdom. He's not going to make you love him. Because he said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. So we know how to love him. And if you don't want to keep his commandments, well, it's because you do not love him. Period. That's all there is to it. Because you love something else more than you love him. So he shows us his covenant. And he says, choose this day whom you will serve. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going through the Psalms. And we'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.